Welcome to Message of Hope, the radio ministry of Meadowview Church of Christ, located at 6750 Raiders Road in Frazeesburg. Meadowview Church of Christ meets every Sunday with a worship service at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10:15 a.m., and evening service at 6:30 p.m. We invite you to join us. To learn more about the Meadowview Church of Christ, visit us online at meadowviewchurch.com.
I want you to just think of a time in your life where you were just unsure of what your next step was going to be. It's graduation Sunday, and so you can understand where this question comes from. But think about a moment where you were just unsure of what you were going to do next. Now, this doesn't have to be a serious moment. It could be just, I don't know, something simple, but it could also be, where am I going to work? Where am I going to college? Where am I going to move? What's this going to look like with a new boss or whatever it is? Just a moment in your life where you were unsure of what the next chapter was going to look like. I'll share two with you, and I've actually shared this. I don't expect anybody to remember it, but I shared this about 10 years ago in a sermon that I preached here. I shared this one illustration. It was my first year of Summer in the Sun. And I was going into my freshman year of high school, and I was so excited to go to church camp because everybody in youth group had been talking about it. And my brother had been talking about it, Tony, Josh, our speaker from last week, he had been talking about it. And I just could not wait to experience everything that I would experience at church camp. You know, the important things like cliff jumping and caving and basketball. Those were like the three things that I was so excited to participate in when I went to camp. And we had this afternoon where we didn't have anything to do, so we left the college and we went to Grayson Lake, and we climbed over this guardrail down this steep hill, and we find ourselves on the edge of a cliff. The cliff was it was named Rosedale, and it was probably 30 feet tall. It looked like it was 300 feet tall when you were looking from the top down, but I remember standing there and watching everybody jump ahead of me and thinking, oh, this looks awesome. But on the inside, like, I was terrified. Like, I'm standing on the edge of the cliff, and my palms are getting sweaty. My knees are weak. You know, I'm nervous. You know how it goes, right? On the outside, I'm calm, but on the inside, like, I am just a complete wreck. Because I can't walk back, right? Because if I walk back, then I'm the weak little freshman that will get no respect from the rest of the guys. But if I jump, this could hurt, right? And I had a decision that I had to make. Now, let me say this real quick, because we are taking our youth to Summer in the Sun this year. Cliff jumping is now illegal. It was not at that time. Cliff jumping at Grayson Lake is now illegal. It is up to a $5,000 fine. So when we go, we will not be cliff jumping, or we'll be taking a love offering before we go. So no, we won't be going cliff jumping. And it is now illegal. So unfortunately, youth, we're not able to go. Second time, fast forward 4 years. I'm back down in the same area. Now I'm about to be a freshman in college. And I'm standing in my dorm room, and I can remember this as if it were yesterday. We had moved everything from the vehicles up to our room, and I was rooming with my brother. And so in the room is my brother and mom and dad and myself, and I'm unpacking my toiletries. And on top of my dresser, which was just a teeny tiny room, about five rooms could fit on this stage, and I'm unpacking and putting my deodorant and toothbrush in one area, and I can remember just feeling like the weight of everything just collapsing on me in that moment. And I remember standing there, and you know by now, if you've spent any time here, I'm an emotional person. I can remember just the tears just flowing, because I was so worried about, man, now this is the new chapter in my life, and I don't know what this is going to look like. And in a few hours, it's going to be my brother and I here, and we're going to have a lot of fun, but mom and dad are heading home, and the life that I knew back home isn't what I'm going to be experiencing now for the rest of my life. And it was just this moment where it was a moment of wondering, is this for me? Like, how am I going to step forward? How am I going to continue to move with the unknown just being so prevalent in that moment? No, graduation Sunday is a chance for us to honor our high school and our college graduates, to take a look at what they have done, the accomplishments that they have done, but also to talk about what's going to take place next. In Sunday school, we've been studying with the teens. We've been studying the book of Joshua. And we've been studying and going through this video series that is led by an author and minister by the name of Louis Giglio. And as he introduced the first week, he said something that really caught my attention. He said this. He said, the Israelites at this point in time in the book of Joshua, they find themselves stuck between what God has done for them and what God is going to do for them. Maybe you're familiar with what has taken place at that point in time. Maybe you're not. Let me just give you the Cliff Notes version real quick. Moses had led the Israelites out of slavery from Egypt toward the Promised Land, toward this area that God had been promising them for a long time. And in order to get from Egypt on the way that they're going, they had to cross through the Red Sea. And so God shows up in a big way. The sea is parted. They travel through on dry ground. The Egyptian army is chasing them, but the water closes in on the Egyptian army. And they are now heading toward where God has been promising them. But if you fast forward about 40 years, they're now stuck in another area. Moses is no longer the leader. Joshua is the leader. And now they have another body of water that is in front of them. It's the Jordan River, which would easily be able to be a river that you could cross regular time. But during flood stage, which was at this point in time, it would swell to about a half mile wide, and it was raging waters, and it would not be easy or practical for anybody to cross. And so the Israelites find themselves stuck between what God has done and what God is going to do. And I think we find ourselves in that moment a lot in our lives. We find ourselves stuck between knowing that God has showed up in big ways in our past, but how's he going to continue to show up in big ways in our future? I want to look at one chapter today, and we're just going to pick this chapter apart. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Psalm 121. Psalm 121 is only 8 verses long, but there's so much in here that we can take from this. But before we read this, I want you to understand this. Psalms 120 through Psalms 134 are these psalms that are known as the Psalms of Ascents. They were songs that the Israelites would sing as they would travel back to Jerusalem for different feasts or different festivals. Multiple times a year, usually 3 times a year, they would go and they would make this journey, oftentimes from Jericho up to Jerusalem, which was not an easy pilgrimage. In order to get from Jericho, get to Jerusalem from Jericho, you would have to ascend about 3,300 feet in areas where it was rocky terrain and where people would hide, and they would hide simply to attack. And so what the Israelites would do is they would memorize these songs that we read from Psalms 120 through 134. They would memorize them, and they would just sing them as they would go. These were reminders to them about the God that they served, and in a time where they're just unsure of what's going to take place with this rocky terrain or the heat from the desert or from people with bad intentions, they would sing them even by themselves or collectively. In Psalms 121, I want to look at it. It says this. It says, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Now, believe it or not, one of the things that I've enjoyed doing the past 10 years is I've enjoyed running. It was something that I never enjoyed doing when I was younger. I despised any time that coaches would make us run, but I started to enjoy it. And about 2 years ago, I went out to Black Hand Gorge to run, and I found that I enjoy running the trails. It's more like a fast walk or a very slow jog, but I will run these trails, and I've learned a lot as I've started to run these trails. First of all, I've learned this. It does not matter if you are running these trails and you announce from a long distance away that you are going to pass somebody, you will scare them if you are about a 40-year-old man breathing heavily running after them. Okay? I cannot tell you how many times that I will be on this trail that's just wide enough for one person, and I'll see somebody 50 feet away, and I'll think, oh no, here we go. It's all right if they're walking towards you because they see you, but if they turn around and they're like, oh, what's this guy doing? I will announce, hey, a runner behind, I don't even know the right thing to say. Runner going to pass you, look out, you know. Hey you, I don't know the right thing to say, and I always apologize because it doesn't matter if they are the biggest, strongest man or if it's a mom and her kids. They all get scared every single time. And I always tell them, as soon as I get to the end of this trail, I'm turning around and I'm coming back. So if you see me again, I'm not going to take you. I'm just going for a run. But I've learned this. I've learned that running on trails is not like running on the road. Because if you take your eyes off of where your feet are going to land, you will most certainly fall. And I was running one time, and I was coming down this hill. It was coming into a creek bed, and I had my phone in my hand, and you know, my earphones in, and I'm just enjoying it. And I probably got going a little bit too fast because I was going downhill. And somewhere, I didn't see it, but there was a root that caught my foot, and it looked like I was sliding into home in the middle of the woods. It was one of those where you get up and you brush yourself off and you look around to make sure that nobody else is around. And thankfully, nobody else was around. But again, it's not like running on a paved path. It's so much different. And so I want to just pick three things out of this passage today that I think is key for all of us here this morning, not just our graduates, but all of us. The first thing that we can learn from this is that we, as we step into a new chapter in our life, we have to keep our eyes focused on the Lord. When the psalmist writes 121, chapter 121, he says, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? This isn't just poetic. This is intentional. These hills weren't just beautiful. They were also dangerous. That's where the threats came from. That's where uncertainty lived. And so the psalmist is asking a real question. Where is my help actually coming from? And he answers it. He says, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You probably heard the phrase that your eyes are the window to your soul. Matthew writes it this way. He says, in chapter 6, verse 22, he says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. If your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is the darkness? What we look at, what we focus on will most certainly shape us and shape how we feel. If we focus on the size of obstacles in our lives, fear tends to grow. If we focus on the faithfulness of God, confidence tends to grow. You know, as I stood standing in my dorm room on that opening weekend of college quite a few years ago, all I could think about was what I didn't know. And all I could think about was what I was going to miss out on at home and the things that I wouldn't be able to experience. All I could think about was the life that I knew. I wasn't thinking about the life that I would be able to experience and how great the next 4 years were going to be and how God was going to do so much along the way. And if you're anything like me, we're problem solvers, right? But our help doesn't come from having everything figured out. It comes from the Lord. The author of the book of Hebrews says this in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I think the second truth that we can pull from this chapter is that we need to make sure that our feet are steady on the path. In verse 3, it says that he will not let your foot slip. I think the Christian life, being faithful, is not about sprinting ahead. It's about steady steps. It's not about knowing the entire journey. It's just about the next faithful step. And again, when I'm running on these trails, if I'm not paying attention to where my feet go, I will go down. I've been telling Rachel and Owen and Amelia, like, man, this is so much fun. And over, I would say, does anybody want to go with me? Does anybody want to go with me? Finally, I got Owen to agree to go with me. One time. One time. And I asked him if I could share this story so that I didn't want him to be embarrassed or surprised if I shared this. But as he was running, and I kept telling him, watch your feet, watch your feet. And out of nowhere, there was a rock that jumped. We're sure of it. It jumped out of nowhere, and it caught his foot. And down he went. I was running behind him, and I saw the thing take place. But if we're not focusing on where our next step is, then it's easy to trip. It's easy to fall. So what does staying steady look like in the next chapter of life? What does staying steady look like for our graduates walking into the workforce or to college or wherever it is that we're going? I think staying steady is daily time with God, especially as you're walking into a new area of life where it's a lot of study and it's a lot of class and a lot of friends and a lot of fun, but where is our daily time with God coming from? I think choosing obedience in small moments is another way that we steady our path. And I think surrounding ourselves with the right people is a good way to make sure that we stay steady in our walk with the Lord. And I think I was very fortunate. I think back to my life after I graduated high school and I walked into just this unknown of college. I already told you my roommate was my brother. Like, how lucky can you be to be able to move 3.5 hours away and know who your roommate is? It was my roommate my entire life. And how cool this really is, our speaker from last week, Josh, was my brother's roommate for his first 2 years. So Jason and Josh roomed together, and then Josh graduated, and then I came in and I roomed there. And it was Jason and his friends welcoming me and kind of guiding me as I'm walking into this new chapter of life. And then my sophomore year, my brother's my roommate again, and Rachel is a freshman down at college now. And so I was so lucky to have so many people that surrounded me to be able to help me walk in the right direction. You know this, I'm not telling you anything new, but we don't typically fall away from God in one big moment. It's often drifting away because we stop watching our steps. And graduates, and for all of us, no one expects us to have our entire life mapped out. I know we hear it from a young age in high school and even middle school, just talking about what are you going to do when you get older? What are you going to do when you get older? But even though we're not responsible for having our entire life mapped out, I do think that we're responsible for the next steps that we take. And so I would encourage you to ask yourselves these questions. And again, this isn't just for graduates. This is for all of us. How will I stay rooted in my faith in my next steps of life? Will I find a church in the next, wherever God places me? And how involved am I going to be in that church? And will I look and live differently than those who are around me? You know, Paul is challenging the Galatian people to live with the fruit as evidence of Christ in them. And after he shares what fruitfulness looks like in our lives, he says this in chapter 5, verse 25. He says, since we live by the Spirit, he says, let us continue to keep in step with the Spirit. And so that would be my second encouragement to you today, is to keep steady on your path and keep steady in step with the Spirit. The psalmist continues to say this in verses 5 and 6. He says, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day. You know, shade in this environment, as the Israelites are making this pilgrimage through the mountains, shade wasn't a luxury. It was a means of survival. And you know this, and again, I'm not sharing anything new today. Life isn't always going to be easy. We know this. Pressures will come. There's going to be days where we feel exposed and overwhelmed. But what does shade represent in this passage? I believe it represents a few things. I believe it represents God's presence. I believe it represents God's protection, and I believe it represents God's peace. So where do we turn, or who do we turn to when maybe anxiety hits or attacks, or when we feel homesick, or when life just doesn't go as we planned? These aren't the moments where we run from God. These are the moments that I believe that we just rest in his shade. I came across this week. I never knew this. But oftentimes kings during Bible times were referred to as shade for the people underneath their protection. People would just refer to their king as their shade because they felt safe in the protection of their king. Do you remember what took place with Jonah? As Jonah was asked to go to Nineveh and preach to tell the people and preach to the people to repent from their sins, Jonah doesn't want to go. Like we probably heard this story from a young age. He goes in the complete opposite direction, as far away from Nineveh as he can, and God gets his attention, and God brings him back to Nineveh with the use of a giant fish, and he goes and he preaches repentance and tells the people they need to turn from their ways, and he doesn't want to go simply because he knows that the God that he serves is a gracious and a merciful God, and he does not like the Ninevite people. And he knows if he goes and he preaches repentance that they will repent and God will forgive them. And he just doesn't want that to take place. And so as the book of Jonah is wrapping up, there's this conversation, or this moment where there's this, again, this conversation taking place between Jonah and God. And you find Jonah in a moment where he's in the desert in the scorching heat and the wind. And God allows a plant to grow and he just rests in the shade. It says that he finds comfort in the shade that God gives. Of course, God then allows a worm to eat the plant, and the shade is taken from him, and it's this reminder to Jonah that God is in control. But for a brief period, Jonah was able to rest in the comfort of the Lord, and I think that is what we need to do as well. I think we need to find comfort in the shade of our King. Obviously, this isn't to say that if we just do these three things, if we follow what Psalms 121 says, that life is going to be easy and God is going to make our path smooth. Like, we know better than that. We know that that is not the case, but we can find just a assurance that God is there in between our coming and our going. When we find ourselves stuck between bodies of water like the Israelites were between the Red Sea and the Jordan River, we can find rest and assurance in knowing that God is right there with us. And so whenever you walk into a new chapter of life, whatever that is, rest assured that this is not a place of abandonment. This is a place that God wants to meet you. The same God who leads you forward is the same God who covers you when you get there. The psalmist ends this chapter with this just this beautiful promise. Psalms 121:8 says, "The Lord will watch over your coming and your going both now and forevermore." This wasn't new to the psalmist who wrote this. He likely took this from Deuteronomy 28:6, this blessing that is being given that says that you will be blessed when you come and when you go. And when I heard this, I thought, is this not more appropriate than anything to talk about today? Graduates, you will be blessed when you come out of where you've been, your high school or your college days, and you will be blessed where you go if only we continue to look to our help. So graduates, you are coming out of high school, you're coming out of college, and you're heading into something new, something that might be unknown. Take heart that the same God that was watching over the Israelites in their coming from Egypt and their going into the promised land is the same God who has been and will be watching over you. And for the rest of us, whatever you are coming out of and whatever you are heading into, take heart that the same God of the Bible is the same God of today. So I'd ask the question, where do we look in times of need? Again, the psalmist says, I lift my eyes to the hills. And then he asks the question, where does my help come from? And he says, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and of earth. You know, as I found myself standing on that cliff that day, I didn't know what the next steps were going to be. I didn't know what it was going to be like. I do know this. I jumped, and it didn't go well. I don't expect anybody to remember, but if you remember me sharing this story before, I looked down the entire way, and you don't look down when you're going into water because the water will smack you, and it did, and it hurt, but I jumped again. And I jumped again, and then I would go back with friends, and all through out high school and even college, we would just go back to different places, and we would go to smaller cliffs that were a lot of fun to jump off of, but we would also go to higher cliffs that that hurt even more when you jumped off of. But I never would have experienced that feeling of falling, which felt like it was forever, if I never would have taken that first step to just go. And as I stood there in my dorm room going into my freshman year of college, if I would have just packed my bags up, because I'm sure if I would have asked and begged hard enough, my parents probably would have allowed me to come back home, I never would have experienced just all that God had in store for those next 4 years of my life. Just a time where I was able to just grow lifelong friendships and learn and study and just be molded into who I am and where God was going to lead me. See, we serve a God who is active in our lives, but if you're anything like me, more often than not, we just need to step aside and we need to allow him to lead and us to follow. And as we wrap this up today, I would say this: if you're not allowing God to be Lord of your life, if you haven't made that decision to make him Lord of your life, this word Lord just affirms that Jesus is the supreme authority. How can we sing this song and say, where does my help come from? And I'm going to place my trust in you. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're saying, I believe, and I know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm repenting of my sins. I just haven't made him Lord of my life. Then maybe that's the step you need to make as you're coming out of where you've been and going to where you're going to go. I think what's really cool about these eight quick verses that we just read is that in these eight quick verses, and I've read these probably 50 times this week as I was preparing for this, and I didn't even realize this until this morning as I was going over this one more time. The words "the Lord" and the words "watch over" are used 5 times each in these 8 verses. If the author isn't trying to get us to pay attention, I don't know what he's doing. But it's a reminder over and over again as these people are taking this pilgrimage to celebrate whatever feast or festival they're going to, that God is going to watch over them. God is going to watch over them. And I believe in our coming and our going that God is going to watch over us.
This is Sam Dunn, and I have the privilege of serving as the evangelist with the Meadowview Church of Christ in Frazeesburg. I just want to thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast and listening to a message from Meadowview. If you do not already have a church home, or if we can help you in any way, you can contact us through our website, which is meadowviewchurch.com, or simply call us at 740-828-2536. Thanks again for tuning in, and may God's blessings be with you today.